We'll get rolling. I hope everyone's doing well. I hope you're enjoying this beautiful weather that we're being blessed with, and it's really it's refreshing to be able to get outside and enjoy the sunshine and enjoy God's creation, and we've been doing a lot of that, and it's good for us. It's good for us to get out. So welcome this morning. If you're a new visitor this morning, if you're new to New Life this morning, welcome. Welcome to our new way of doing our church service for a while, and hopefully we're drawing near to the end of this, like I say every week, but we don't know, and we'll find that out as information comes along. And so be sure and share this so your friends and your family and maybe those that maybe would never hear the word any other time would have a chance to hear it this morning. And I hope you're healthy physically, spiritually. I hope you're healthy. I hope that you are spending time in the Word and really using this time to draw near to God. And He's given us this time not to be distracted by the things of this world, but to draw near to Him, because He's our strength, He's our hope, He's our everything that we need comes from Him. He's our comforter, and so do that. Draw near to Him. And here's the thing: if you need some accountability, if you need some accountability to help hold you into the Word, why don't you reach out to me or reach out to somebody in the church? Reach out to somebody that you know will actually hold you accountable, will actually contact you, spend some time with you in the Word. Will actually do that. Do that for yourself, for your spiritual growth, because it will help you. And we need that accountability. So maybe today you're struggling and you need someone to help you. Just don't be prideful, because I think a lot of times we become prideful and we become just self-centered and think that we've got this and that we have everything under control and we don't need anybody else, and we lose sight of, man, we do need people. We need people to come alongside of us. And so reach out to me, reach out to somebody. Today we're going to continue our study in 1 Timothy, and we're going to get into chapter 3, but we didn't finish chapter 2 last week. We have one verse we need to cover, and we need to see that and to understand what exactly Paul is talking about there. And so open your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is where we're going to start. And this verse here, it's kind of like, what in the world is Paul talking about? What in the world is this all about? And so let's read that together. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. And we're going to read chapter 3, verse 1 as well, just so that we know where we're going, but we'll get to 3:1 later. So chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." And then chapter 3, verse 1 says, "This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing." These are two completely different subjects, two completely different things we're going to talk about today, but we have to wrap up 2 before we can get into 3. So let's pray, and then we'll get going. Father God, we pray today that you would, Father, you would speak through me. Father, that you would be glorified through your word today. Father, that people would see you as they read the words on the pages of this book. And God, I pray today that our lives would be changed because of the power of your word. And Father, that we would come away different. We would come away walking in the Spirit. I pray that we are walking in the Spirit now to receive the word. And Father, that we would take what we learn and apply it to our lives and teach it to somebody else. And God, I pray for this week as we have another week ahead of us. I pray that we would use it for your honor, for your glory, for the kingdom, for treasures in heaven, not treasures on earth. And Father, we pray for that. And so God, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So this verse today, we need the Lord to direct us. We need the Lord to direct us through chapter 2, verse 15. It wraps up the passage, because last week we dove into that passage about the women and about how what they need to be doing, right? We drove through that and basically, you know, how they don't need to be usurping their authority over the man and how they need to do certain things. And some people take that and use it as like a hammer and beat on the women's head and tell them to sit down, shut up and be quiet and be pretty and all of that. But we know that women have a very vital role in the body, and they have ministries that they need to be over. They have ministries they need to be involved in. They have things that they need to be doing. And we know that it's not that women just need to sit down and not do anything and it's all up to the man to do it. We know that that's not true, and that's not what Paul was talking about here. But there was probably some ladies that did need to sit down and be quiet. And so he was addressing that. So we covered all of that last week, and then we didn't get into verse 15. But verse 15, again, it says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety." So you ask yourself, what in the world? And we know, here's what we do know. We know that Adam and Eve fell in the garden. They lost perfection, right? If you go back to Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, which we will here in just a second, iniquity, sin entered into the world as they disobeyed God. They did the one thing they were told not to do. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They did what they were not supposed to do. And if you hold your place right here in 1 Timothy and turn back with me to Genesis chapter 3 and lay your eyes on something with me. Genesis chapter 3, you know, there's consequences for our sin. Today, there's consequences for our sin. When we sin, there's a consequence. Not that we're going to be kicked out of God's family, not that we're going to lose our salvation, not that we're going to be removed, but there's consequences for our sin. Just as when we were a child, when we did something wrong, we would get our hand slapped or our rear slapped. There was consequences for things that we did wrong. And it all started right here. It all started in Genesis chapter 3. And we can see in Genesis chapter 3, if you just start in verse... we're going to kind of bounce back and forth here, but if you start in 16, it says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of the wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I have commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life." And it goes on there. But basically, so there's consequences. There was consequences because of what they did. Eve was deceived in the garden. We know that the tempter, the serpent came and tempted Eve, and they twisted the word all up. She got her all twisted up, and sin entered into the world. And then she took that to Adam, and Adam partook of that as well. And then, boom, we see the result of that today. To this very moment, we see the result of what took place in this very moment. Because of their sin, we all became sinners. But praise the Lord for Jesus, because he can make us clean. He can clean that up. So what we have to remember is, before this moment, before Genesis chapter 3, everything was perfect. God just wrapped up creating everything through Genesis chapter 1 and then Genesis chapter 2. You know, we see what's going on, and everything was perfect. There was no problems. There was no issues. And man, Adam was ruling over all the things that God had placed underneath of him. And then he creates woman out of his rib, and things are just absolutely amazing. Some would say heaven on earth, right? Because it was just perfection. God had created it. There was nothing that was wrong with it. And then here we go. Sin entered into the world. The deceiver entered and messed it all up. Not to take any blame off of Adam and Eve, not to say that they didn't have a part in that, but Satan, man, he slipped in, just like he does in our lives. He slips into our lives, and he gets us to do things that we know we are not to be doing. And then what do? We just cast the blame on him. What did Eve do? The serpent made me do it. Yeah, but you did it. You partook of that. You did what you knew you were not supposed to do. So there was consequences. Our text in 1 Timothy chapter 2, in verse 15, again it says, "Notwithstanding, she shall be saved." You're like, what? So what in the world does that mean? Because that word saved is basically means salvation, right? And as a Christian, when we hear the word saved, we instantly think of someone's eternity. We think of what has happened. So they've placed their trust in Jesus and they have eternity. They're saved, right? They're saved from eternal hell. And that's not what this means right here. But that word is still translated salvation, because salvation means to be saved, right? To be captured. And when we think of that word salvation, we always think of eternal, but it doesn't always have to be eternal that's being talked about. So what does this mean? What does Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 mean? I'm sorry, 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15 mean? What does it mean? Does this mean that salvation comes through childbearing, that women can only be saved when they have a child? No, that's not what it means, and we know that. It says, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith. Now, we know that salvation only comes from Jesus. We know that there's no other way to get eternal life except through faith in Christ. We know that. We know that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him. We know that because the Word says that, the Word is true, and the Word is perfect. I believe that it's God's amazing grace that is being poured out on the woman here, right? Because the woman is the one that carries the child. The woman is the one that has to birth the child. And the woman is the one that has to go through that. The man doesn't have to do that, but the woman does. So what it's saying here is, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing, because by all means, by all rights, if you've ever experienced that as a husband, to see your wife go through that, or a woman to experience that, by all means, death should happen, right? We know that it's just it's a crazy thing, and it's only by the miracle and the grace and the mercy of God that it can happen. So here we see saving her life as she does this is what God is doing. Because, you know, God told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and what? To be fruitful and multiply in Genesis chapter 1. And a God that has no grace would tell them to do that and allow the woman to die. But God is so full of grace and mercy that He says, be fruitful and multiply. And even though in Genesis chapter 3, you guys are going to mess up and sin's going to enter into the world, I'm still going to show my grace and my mercy and allow this to happen. And I'm still going to save her. Only God can do this. Creating a life is a miracle of God. Man just gets to be a part of it and gets to witness it. He pours out His grace throughout the whole entire thing. And though there were consequences for sin in the garden, we know that death by sin and death passed upon all men for all of sin, right? Adam and Eve were removed from the garden, it says. There was a consequence from that. They were removed from that perfection because it was not perfection anymore, because sin had entered into the world. So here's what we have to remember, though. This does not mean that, like, God holds this over their head. Yes, God doesn't forget. God knows exactly what has happened in the past and what is going to happen in the future. But what we have to remember is that God's grace, undeserved favor, His mercy is poured upon man, is poured out on us. Instead of holding over our past and saying, yeah, you know, if you wouldn't have done that in the past, maybe I could forgive you for now. But He doesn't, because He loves us and He pours out His grace and His mercy. And it's a picture of that right here, because the woman is saved in childbearing. It takes faith. It takes faith to do that. God wants us to be reconciled back to Him. This is why He sacrificed His Son. You know, one of the roles of the women, we were talking about some of the roles of the women last week. One of the roles of the women is to bear children. And I know not all women are capable physically to bear children, but one of the roles of the women is to bear children. That is not a role of man, right? We know that. It's impossible. It's not physically possible to happen. I think there's people that have tried, and I think we should just continue the way that God created it to do, right? So One of the roles of the women is to bear children. We know that the women are to teach women and women are to do all sorts of things. But one of the roles is to bear children, to birth them. It's a role. You know what? There's roles that men can only do and there's roles that women can only do. And this is definitely one that women can only do. So Paul had just laid out what they shouldn't be doing and what they can't do, right? And now he's saying this is something that they can do. Not to say that women are only created to produce babies. That's foolish, and we know that's not true. But that is one thing that they can do. So saved here refers to her life, not salvation for eternal life. Remember that. Just so we're clear, it means to save her life. So we're going to move on into our beginning of our study in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to get cooking in this, and we're going to have to probably spend some time here. We're going to have to spend quite a bit of time because there's a lot of character qualities. There's a lot of things that Paul is laying out here. And remember that our theme for the book is to know our role. And this is just another role in the body of Christ. And today we're going to look at one of the roles of the church. And we're going to see that as we roll through this book. And everyone fits into this picture somewhere. Okay, everyone fits into this book because Paul is addressing all of us. And he spends a great amount of time right here in chapter 3 speaking about the pastors and the deacons of the church. And he spends a great deal of time laying out the qualifications and all of that. So we're going to spend a little bit of time here because maybe God is speaking to you today about that. So in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work." If the man desireth the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. This is as far as we're going to get today, one verse. Because if we were to jump into some more verses, it would just be hard to even get through the next verse. Because, like I said, there's a power-punched pack of awesome goodness that we're going to roll into in these next several verses. And it's going to be verse by verse, partial verse by partial verse. We're just going to go through it as God leads us to go through it. But right here, Paul begins to lay out what he's talking about for qualifications here. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. So this verse, the verses that follow, right, beginning in verse 2, lay out some of those qualifications. They're going to lay out what it means, what the qualifications, like the checklist for what it would entail to be qualified to be a bishop. This word bishop, as we're going to see, also means pastor or leader or shepherd. So it's just, we don't call our pastors bishops today. So last week we addressed the women. This week we're addressing the men. But this doesn't mean women tune out, because there's some things here for you as well that we're going to see. But what we see here is a calling. And yes, we're talking about, it says if a man desires the office of a bishop, we know that men are to be the pastors of the church. But in the essence of calling, women, listen to me, because in the essence of calling, God calls you to things as well. God calls you to ministries. God calls you to lead things. God calls you to do certain things. So don't tune out because we're talking about the office of a bishop. And men, if you say, well, I'm not ever going to be a pastor, so I don't need to listen to this, listen to it, because I said the same thing and God totally changed all that. So tune in to what God has to say here. Here's what we see is, one may find this a bit weird that he would say okay, so this is the word of God, and Paul says this is a true saying. We know that the word of God is what? It's truth. The word is truth. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And Paul says this is a true saying. Why would Paul say this is a true saying and the truth? Because Paul's writing this letter. Paul didn't know that, oh, this letter is one day going to be in the Holy Bible. God is going to preserve this, right? He didn't know that. It wasn't orchestrated like that. Yes, God was speaking through Paul to get this letter out. But Paul says this is a true saying. not knowing that one day this would be a big portion of the New Testament. You know, Paul used a lot of phrases, but another similar phrase is in chapter 1, verse 15, it says, this is a faithful saying. Very similar, meaning that this is a true saying. How do we know this? Because of what followed in that verse. Because in verse 15 it says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to what? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. We know that is true. This is a faithful saying. This is a true saying because we know Jesus came and he died and he was buried and he rose again. Why? To save sinners. We know that. This is a faithful saying, meaning this is a true saying. So Paul uses that. The world needs to hear this today, church. Jesus came to seek and save those which are lost, the whole world. They need to hear the faithful saying of the purpose of Jesus Christ. They need to hear that. They need to hear this true saying. They need to hear this faithful saying. How are they going to hear unless they have a what? A preacher. You're a preacher today, church. You have a voice. You're a preacher. You're a proclaimer of the gospel. Go and tell somebody today. Just because we're going to talk about the office of a bishop does not mean that that takes the pressure off you. We're going to talk about that in a moment because we all have a voice and we all have a message and we all have an opportunity to tell somebody. Today we're going to begin this study on calling of the shepherds to the office, but that does not ever take the pressure off of anyone. Here's the thing. Some would say, well, this takes the pressure off of me because it's the pastor's job to tell people about Jesus. It's my job to sit here and just to listen. It's my job just to come to church on Sundays. It's my job just to do that and that alone. That is not true because it's everyone's calling to speak about the finished work of the cross. The mindset of the church today is that the pastors and leaders do all the work for the Lord and the members just sit and learn in quiet. They just listen. They don't do anything. And we know, New Life, we know that that's not true. And we know that's not how the church operates. And we know that that's not a faithful saying or a true saying. If your mindset is that, then you're wrong. Because every member is a minister of the Word of God. Every member of the local New Testament church is a member, is a minister of the Word of God. Every member has an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. Every member has an opportunity to bless somebody else's life. Every member has an opportunity to do that. Every one of us has a message to share. Every one of us has a story to tell. Every one of us, if you're saved today, has a testimony and you need to tell somebody today. Yeah, we're quarantined. Yeah, go out because there's not a whole lot of quarantining going on, right? Go to the Walmart. There's 500 people you can go and tell your testimony to from 6 feet away. You know, every member is a minister. Not every member is a pastor. Not every member is a leader. But every member is a minister. So remember that. The text today does begin a passage that's going to speak to just those that God is calling to be the pastors and deacons of His church. You know, early on in my walk, I had a man take me through a character study, and he began right here. Well, this is not where we began, but this is where we ended up. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we went through these character qualities, right? And really, we went through them as the character qualities of a man of God. Not as these are character qualities of what it takes to be called to be a pastor or a deacon, but just as a man of God, we should want these character qualities in our life. We should want these in our life because these will change us. If these are present in our life, then we are glorifying God. And as I began to go through this study, I was like, holy moly, this is crazy and this is deep. And I had no idea at that moment that what God was doing in my life, because I had no desire. I had no desire of the office of a bishop. I had no desire to be a pastor. I had no desire to do that. Not that I'm saying that I wouldn't have done that, but I had no desire. That was not even in my forefront of my thinking at the moment because I was not trained up. This was the beginning of my training as God began to prepare me and prepare my heart. He really taught me how to study my Bible out of studying these character qualities. And they're so important. At that time, I was just a hungry learner. And really, when I began that, I was not super hungry. I was just kind of a lukewarm Christian. And God took that lukewarm Christian and he began to teach me and mold me and began to push me and grow me and stretch me. And before long, it was amazing what he was doing in my life and in my family's life and the opportunities that he was going to give me to begin to take what I'm learning and apply it and tell somebody else about it, and the doors that were opened and to be able to go and to speak about God's word. It was amazing just because of simple obedience. So today, listen, guys and gals, because he just wants simple obedience so that we can take what we learn and apply it and pass it on. Through that study, I began to realize that God was calling me to much more than to be just a learner, to be much more than just a pew sitter, right? To be much more than just to sit there and to listen, but to take what I'm listening and tell somebody. I had a burning desire inside of me that I'm like, I need to tell somebody else this. I need to tell somebody how God changed my life because of his word and share that with somebody else so their life can be changed. I had to take what I was learning from the word and I had to teach it to other people. I couldn't help but to want to do that. I believe that we should all have that desire. We should all desire to take what we learn, right? At our jobs, we learn something. What do? We teach it to somebody else. In the word of God, we need to do the same thing. We learn something and we need to teach it to someone else. Not just in discipleship, but in our life, we need to be doing that. How can we just learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and learn without sharing with others? Man, our hearts and our heads are going to explode, right? We're going to become so full of the word and so full of knowledge that we won't even know what we're learning. We've got to get it out. We've got to tell people other about it. Okay, so here's the thing in our text. If the man desire the office of a bishop, we already told the bishop meaning pastor in today's language, an overseer, a shepherd. Turn with me to Acts chapter 20 and look at this passage real quick. Acts chapter 20. In verse 28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which hath purchased with his own blood," which he hath purchased with his own blood. So that word there, overseer, to feed the church of God, that is what I'm talking about when I say that oftentimes members of the church believe that it's the pastor's duty to do everything. Here's what the pastors need to be doing. They need to be overseeing the flock. They need to be watching and protecting and praying and feeding the church of God. And I'm not talking about SpaghettiOs. I'm talking about the word, taking the word of God and feeding it to the body. That's what the pastor is to be doing. Oftentimes, the pastors can get so distracted with all the other things. All the other things. And I'm not saying that he's like far above being able to do that. But the main thing is he needs to be overseeing and feeding the church, right? Preaching the word, praying, and making sure everyone is safe, being a shepherd. And all the other things can fall underneath that. The pastor's duty is to watch and feed. Preach the word, teach the word, pray. Man, there's so many other duties, and I know that. And some of you are saying, well, if that's all he did, man, he would have so much time on his hands. No, that's not true at all. God ordains the men that he chooses to lead the church. He appoints them and charges them to do this right here. To do this verse in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. To watch over, to oversee and feed. To be on the watchtower, to see what's going on. So in order for a bishop to be called to the office, one must realize that this is what God is calling them to do. to feed the word of God to God's people. And why is this important? Go on in that text right there in verse 29 of Acts chapter 20. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Verse 31 says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. There's people that are going to come in and try to disrupt. Just as a farmer, I actually was driving on Friday, and we had to take a detour because there was a car accident on the road that we were on. And we were on this road I'd never been on, and I look over, and there's a bunch of sheep in a field, and not often do you see one of those big sheep dogs out in the field with the sheep anymore, but as I looked over there, I seen this giant sheep dog, and he was just standing on the dam of this pond. What was he doing? He was watching the sheep. He was overseeing those. The farmer needs those sheep dogs to protect the sheep. God needs pastors to be with his people, to watch over, to protect, to feed and guide them away from the enemy. Because the enemy is present, and we know that. The enemy is ever lurking around every corner, right? Seeking whom he may devour. What we know about sheepdogs is they will fight to the very end to protect the sheep. They will go to the grave in order to protect those sheep, because that's what they were created to do. And pastors are called to do this very thing. Some would say, why would a man ever want the responsibility of having to do such a thing? Because it's a calling from God, right? Not a man-made calling. Oftentimes, we do see self-appointed pastors, and there's churches started because of a guy desires to have this authority and this power, and he self-appoints himself, and eventually that's going to come crashing down. I don't know any of those, but I'm just saying that we see that. We see people self-appoint themselves and say, well, I'm just going to be a pastor and this is how it's going to be. God has got to call you to that. God has got to ordain you to that. And you have to be sent, the Bible says. Our text today does say that if a man desires this position, that it's a good thing. And I'm not saying that a man shouldn't, that should be like, feeling bad because they desire the office to be a pastor. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, because I think that if you desire that, then you need to really do business with the Lord, right? And have him direct your steps. Because there's no other reason that it would say that if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good thing. That is a great thing. There's no greater calling in this world than to be able to be a pastor, to be a shepherd of the flock. It's an amazing responsibility, and it's an amazing thing, but it's an amazing calling on from God on your life. That though it's a good thing, that does not mean that everyone's called to be pastors. And that does not mean that all men should just go out and start churches. This is a position that only can be ordained by God, and there are qualifications for this position as well, as we're going to see in the coming text. So the weight that comes from the calling of being a pastor, it's a heavy weight, but never too heavy for God to carry. Because God would never call anyone to anything that he's not going to be there to help them carry the burden. And you see in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, we see that, you know, it's heavy, but it's, man, if we just give it to God, his burden is light. Take that yoke upon you, right? It says that he will give you rest. What one needs to realize is that not all sheep will submit, okay? That sheepdog will spend a great deal of time, because there's one stubborn sheep that keeps trying to get loose. And not all sheep will submit. Some of them think, man, that grass on the other side of the field, that grass on the other side of the fence, that grass on the other side of the road, man, it looks so much greener and so much better than what I have on my field. And I think that I'm going to wander over there. I'm going to crawl under the fence. I'm going to hop the gate. I'm going to do whatever it takes. Maybe I'll just stick my head through the fence. Because, man, it just looks so much better. And that sheepdog will grab that sheep by the leg and drag it back to where it belongs. That's the shepherd's job. That's the pastor's job, is to go and bring that sheep back. To go and rescue them. It's dirty and it's nasty over there. But God has called the man to be an overseer, to be a protector. In Hebrews chapter 13, turn there with me. Hebrews 13 verse 17, one verse here. Hebrews 13, 17. It says, Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. The Bible is clear here. The Bible is clear throughout the Word of God that we need to obey our authority. We need to obey that authority that He has placed us under. But the flesh, man, it's wicked, and it never wants to submit to anything. And church, this is what we have to remember. That our pastors and our leaders are going to give an account for those that He is entrusted with. The pastor will give an account, not by choice, but by the calling that God has on his life. And that is a heavy thing. It says, for they watch for their souls, and that they must give an account. We have to remember that. Yes, everyone will give an account for their actions. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Everyone's going to give an account. You will stand before the Lord. You're going to give an account for what you did here and the time that God gave you. But the pastors give an account for the whole entire flock, as we see right here in verse 17. The actions of the flock are under his authority, under his watch. The text says to obey them that have rule over you. Obey them that have rule over you. Not as they're trying to lord over you. Not as they're trying to keep you confined in under their whatever. But to obey them that have rule over you. Submit yourselves. Why? Because they watch over you. Not out of stalking you to see everything that you're doing, but to keep you safe and fed. To make sure you're okay. Because they will give an account for that. Remember that today, church. The pastor that you submit yourselves under will one day stand before the Lord and give an account for his actions and also for yours. And that is heavy. That's a lot of weight. And that's a weight that only the Lord can bear. And that is why it's important for the pastors to be ordained and appointed by God. Yes, I desired the position of a pastor. I did. Once God called me to that, I desired that. And it was a good thing. It was a good thing, but not out of selfish desires to be somebody that has a title. In fact, I probably delayed the whole situation because I wanted to make sure over and over and over again that it was truly God's calling on my life to become a pastor. And there was many people who were like, would you just submit to the Lord? Would you just obey what He's calling you to do? And I just wanted to make sure that it was the right thing and that it was what He was calling me to do. It was a good thing, but I wanted to make sure it was the right thing. I wanted to please the Lord and I wanted to obey Him as well. And He had prepared me for such a time as that. And He had created me for that very moment. And for some of you today, He has created you for this very moment. He's created, maybe some of you men right now, God is speaking to you. And maybe you're desiring, you're like, man, maybe God wants me to become a pastor. Maybe God has a calling on my life to do that. Maybe God is doing something in my life that I just don't understand. Well, come see me. Let's get rolling. Let's get some training going. Let's get some things happening so you can get prepared. Get into 1 Timothy chapter 3. Begin to read and study out these qualifications that we're going to study. And see where you line up. To see what's going on. You got to understand what the Word says and apply it to your life. If you desire the office of a bishop, it's a good thing. But desiring something and God placing you in that position are two different things, okay? Remember that. Because we can desire. I desire ice cream all the time, right? But that doesn't mean that I can open the freezer and there'll always be ice cream in there. Desiring something and God placing you in that position are two completely different things. Be prepared. Get prepared. Get trained up. Use the opportunity that God has given you to submit yourself under the teaching of the Word of God from some amazing people. Get trained up. Be prepared to go. We should all struggle with that. We should all struggle with the opportunity that we have to go. Some of you today are just wasting time. Some of you today, God didn't allow me to waste much time in my spiritual growth from when I got saved until when God called me out. He just didn't let me sit there and waste much time. He just kept me busy, kept me going. Some of you today are just wasting time. Some of you today are just completely content with just being a lukewarm Christian. Don't do that. Yes, we're talking about the office of a bishop, but man, desire to be used by God. Quit wasting time. Quit wasting the precious moments that God gives us on this earth today. Some of you today need to get up and get busy for the Lord and submit to His calling on your life. Listen to Him. How do you do that? You got to open the book. Right? Some of you all are not opening the book. Some of you all are not in the Word of God. Some of you all just click onto Facebook at 9:45 on Sundays and get your fix and go back out into the world. Daily in the Scriptures. Searching every day. Right? Reading God's Word daily. We have to do that. Maybe that's only 10 minutes a day. That's better than nothing. Right? That's a whole lot better than nothing. Start somewhere, church. Get in the book. You need some accountability, call me. If you don't have my number, message me. I'll give you my number. But we need some accountability. We need to get rolling in this, church. We need to keep pressing towards the mark. We need to keep glorifying God with our life. We have places to go, people to see, and a message to tell them. I'm here to encourage you to get trained up and go to be used by God in whatever He has called you to do. Maybe that's once we start meeting again, maybe it's submitting to discipleship, right? We have many people that are capable of discipling other people, and they're ready and they're willing. We can start that right now. That's one-on-one, right? We can get creative with that and do it across the driveway, keep our 6-foot distance across. I have a 6-foot kitchen table. We can do it there, right? We don't have to stop that. Discipleship is key to beginning to get trained up in the Word of God. It's going to give you the fundamentals to the doctrines of the Word. And man, it's awesome to see how people's lives are changed through that. Are you willing to submit 1 year to just really getting trained up? Because that's where it's going to start. It should take you almost a year to go through discipleship. If you're being fast-tracked through discipleship, slow down. Slow down. Because it's important. I have a feeling there's not a whole lot of growth going on right now when this is a great time to grow. This is a great time to grow closer to God. So remember that today, church. This is a shorter message today. We're going to keep it a little short today because we're going to get into some bigger messages coming up in the next few weeks. But if you need something, get a hold of me. If you need some accountability, get a hold of me. I'll hook you up with somebody, right? There's so many people that will hold each other accountable. I need to be held accountable. So do they. So we can all work together. We can all do this together. Remember, it's a good work. Remember that. It says there, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. It's a good thing, and it's a true thing. It really is, and it's a big calling. It's not a curse. It's a calling. Let's pray. Father God, we pray today. I pray today that if there's somebody today that is feeling the burden of you tugging on their heart, maybe today they're feeling like, man, God does want me to do more. God wants me to be a preacher at my job. God wants me to be an evangelist at my job. God wants me to take the message of hope to the people that are hurting and broken. God is calling you today. If God is calling you, listen to Him. God, I pray today if there's somebody today that is just struggling and hurting and broken and needs something, God, they would cry out to You. They would, Father, that they would reach out to You and not to the things of this world. We're in a different time that we live in today. And God, that you know, and you're the author and the finisher of everything. So God, I pray that you direct our steps. I pray today if there's somebody listening that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, have not placed their faith and trust in Jesus alone, today would be the day they do that. Today would be the beginning of their eternity. They would believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray today that, Father, that you are glorified in each one of our lives, that your light shines so bright through us that people can't help but to see it. God, we love you. God, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Bye, church.